I would like us to turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, which is one of the scriptures that we go by. And before we read that, I want to draw your attention to the fact that we have two books that I don't think you would have seen before that are books. The last time I was here, I don't think I had written The Gospel Truth About the Blood. And it's you know what it's about? It's about the blood. And that's a great doctrine, but under attack today. Preachers don't want to preach about the blood. They say, that, oh, no, no, why would we do that? Some people are against the penal sacrifice of Christ. They say, no, no, that's a terrible thing to talk about that. That's cosmic child abuse for the father to punish his son for things that he didn't do. This will be a very helpful book for you. Or your friends. Remember your friends. Buy this and give to your friends. The second book, which is most recent, just out really not too long ago, it's called Amazing Grace. The most sung but most disbelieved song ever. Have you ever sung it? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what? Wretch. Ow. If you're a self-righteous person, you'll not like this book. And if you're a self-righteous person, you have no business singing Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I found myself. There's something wrong there, isn't there? I once was lost. Oh, now I'm found. Somebody has found me. And that's grace. Hey, don't sing it if you don't believe it. This book deals with all the grace things in the song. And I've been told it's been very, very helpful to people to understand the doctrine of grace. As Terry Wortham calls it, he doesn't call it the doctrines of grace, he calls it the doctrine of grace. Oh, I like that. And so they're both at the back. They're $10 each. Great gifts for yourself or your friends. And I think we have 10 each of these. And also, now you've had this before, but we've been getting demand for it again. It's our Celtic music CD with the scriptures just being read over beautiful melodic Celtic music. And we recommend it to you. So they're all down there at the back of the table. Oh, and before we go on with our word, how many people get the Wednesday word from me? A number of you do, yeah. There's a sign-up sheet, big yellow, whatever, sign-up sheet. Put your name and your email on there, and we will send you the Wednesday word each week. The last 2 weeks, we've been dealing with the subject of legalism. And when I say dealing with the subject, that almost sounds like a seminary. No, I try to make it as readable as possible, okay? And you'll be welcome. We'll send it to you for free. Now then, verse 14, Galatians 6. But God forbid that I should glory. Now, another translation of that would say boast. God forbid that I would boast, that I would glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we just sang a hymn by Isaac Watson. I think he had this scripture in mind when he penned the words, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the young Prince of Glory died, my richest gains I count but loss, and I pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood." Marvelous hymn. And the scripture says, God forbid that I should glory. Who? God forbid that I should glory. How dare we? How dare we boast in anything else other than the cross and the Christ of the cross. God forbid. Paul says, he's not saying, I forbid you to do it. He's saying, God forbid. God forbid that I should glory. The sovereign God is behind this. He doesn't want glorying in ourselves. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. You know, Paul had a lot that he could have gloried in, didn't he? I mean, I don't know if you know who wrote Hebrews. If he wrote Hebrews, he wrote 14 books in the New Testament. Boy, there's something to glory about. You know, boast about that. I could boast. 14 chapters of Scripture, of books of Scripture, yeah. Did you know that Paul went all over the place starting churches, ordaining elders? Did you know Paul could have boasted of that? Paul could have boasted, he said, you know, at one time people were sick and they would send me their hankies and I'd just pray over them and send them back and they'd get healed. Oh boy, you could surely, yes, says Paul, I could boast of that. And I could boast about a time a wee fella fell out of the window and had to go. He was listening to me preaching. I mustn't have been preaching well, for he fell asleep. And I had to go and raise him from the dead. Paul could have boasted of that, couldn't he? He had a lot of things he could have boasted about. The apostle to the Gentiles. The Lord appeared to him at conversion. Gosh, that's a lot to boast about. But he says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. Oh, the cross, you know, he's not talking about a piece of wood. He's not running around with a piece of wood and saying, here, look, I'm glorying in this. He's glorying in the cross, the execution place of the young Prince of Glory. And what gives the cross its power is the person of the cross. Not just that it's a piece of wood. The cross is given its meaning in the person of Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the person of the cross. Who is he? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul has a wonderful ministry, but he himself is not the subject of his ministry. In fact, he says to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, 5, he says, we preach not ourselves. I wish some pastors I've heard would read that scripture and take it to heart. We preach not ourselves. Look, I know, I want to be kind. It's hard not to preach yourself. But it's not apostolic. It is sub-New Testament. We preach not ourselves, but Christ. Christ the Lord is the one who is preached. So Paul preaches Christ the Lord. And I know the norm is anything but that. But Paul and the Word of God say, God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, who is this person of the cross? I tell you, by the way, before I do, I'm just going to mingle a few mission reports in with this preaching. There's a lot of people we minister to. Now, some of you don't know anything about our ministry, but We focus mainly on Asia and Africa at the moment. We do seminars and training meetings, conferences for pastors. And I'll tell you why in a moment. And Nepal, India, and now Africa. And we have also involvement in Burma. What's it called? Myanmar. Thank you. We translated one of the books, 1,000 copies, sent it into Myanmar, and they distributed. We have a distribution there. Haven't been there to preach yet, but they're hungry for grace of God. And this idea, let me explain. You don't mind me mixing a mission report with the preaching. We'll get back to that scripture, all right? A lot of doors have opened since last I saw you. I don't know how long it's been since I've been here, but a lot. And by the way, thank you for the support that you send, brother. And we wouldn't be doing it without folks like you. Well, normally what happens is somebody gets a hold of the Wednesday word and they start communicating and saying, hey, why do you say this or why do you say that? Well, we'd come to this stage in a place called Karnataka in India. Yadgiri is the name of the city itself. And we'd been asked to go and do a conference there. So I did, and out of that, a lot of ministries happened. We started an orphanage out of that. The people there, the pastor, Pastor Parshu, he said to me, and my friend Robert Wills from San Antonio, who was there, and he said, brother, the Lord's laid in my heart to start an orphanage. The children are dying on the streets here. Nobody cares for them. Nobody's looking after them. They're scavenging in dustbins, trash cans, trying to find a morsel. And one little boy, he'll be taking care of his little brother, scavenging. And he says, it's breaking my heart. Can you help us start an orphanage? Well, yes, of course we can. But we don't have any money. But God does. Isn't that right? He does. His people do through... By the way, if you've got a lot of money, do you know whose it is? It's the Lord's. Do you know if you have a little money, do you know whose it is? It's the Lord's. And so we said, go ahead, man. We'll back you whatever way we can. But now we've got an orphanage there with 30 kids in it. And if you get the Wednesday word, you'll often see pictures of them. In fact, this today we had a picture of them in their visit to the playground, which was great. And so we've got that going, and we're teaching them. We're sending them to an English-speaking school. They've got their own building. They've got recently beds. They hadn't beds up until recently. And now they've got their own bunk beds. And it's important to get up off the floor because of snakes and things like that. And so they're doing very well. We've opened a computer school for them. We bought them, how many computers? 5 or 10, whatever. I can't remember. But we employ a man to come in and teach computer. So they'll have all these different skills available when they grow up to be the right age. And so one time I'm going, okay, now hold that. I've told you about Yadgiri. Okay. Memphis, Tennessee. There's a dear friend in Memphis, Tennessee, who was out hiking in the Himalayas, and he met a pastor and from Nepal, the Himalayas and Nepal. He met a pastor, and they got to talking. They were believers, and they had some great fellowship together. They stayed in touch when Barry, my friend, he went back home to Memphis. And they stayed in touch. Brother Daniel, a pastor from Nepal, stayed in touch with Barry, and Barry started sending him the Wednesday word. And he said, whoa, I like that. That's good. Now, this guy has a Bible training institute, 30 or 40 kids at it, and wanting to be full-time in ministry. And so he wrote to me and said, could you send the Wednesday word directly to me? And I said, yeah. And then one week he said, I noticed you're going to India. We were actually making a return visit to Yadgir to see the orphans and to preach. He said, could I join you? And we said, come ahead, brother, come ahead. So he came in, he flew in from Nepal into Hyderabad, and then we went off traveling and preaching. After the preaching was over, we're back in Hyderabad. He said, brother, would you come to Nepal? I said, well, that sounds good. He said, brother, we know nothing about the finished work in Nepal. Well, we'll come. And we've held several conferences there. Now, when we say we're holding conferences, we're teaching up there. The last conference we had there, we had 300 pastors and Christian workers who were there. Wonderful stuff. We showed the photographs in the Wednesday Word. That was some time ago. We had that last conference there. And why do we teach pastors? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they go home and they teach 100 people. Why do we teach pastors to preach Christ and Him crucified? Because they go home and they preach Christ crucified. Finished work. Why do we teach them salvation by grace? And boy, do we teach them salvation by grace. And we teach them the extent of the atonement. And we're not hiding around any bushes and sneaking away. Christ died for His elect. And He successfully saves His elect. Somebody say amen. Amen. Christ died for us. The Son of God loved me, says Paul, and He gave His life for me. Oh, good news, isn't it? And we're teaching them all these things, and they're teaching the others. We have monthly gospel truth conferences where these pastors are now going into areas where we couldn't go to. And even when some of the areas in India where they've gone in, the natives have run away from them, and they're Indians. But they've run away and hide and hidden. And so we're training them, sending them in, training them, sending them in. And the Lord, in His goodness, has provided two cars for two brothers in different areas of Andhra Pradesh, which is another province there, to go and to teach the tribal ministers. It's wonderful stuff. Jesus is the Lord, isn't He? God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when Paul got saved? He was knocked to the ground. Do you remember reading that? At that point, he knew who was in charge. He said, he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" That's a great question, isn't it? And then notice the second question was, "What would you have me to do?" There's a man who's, God has dealt with this man. Who are you, Lord? I want to know who you are, Lord. And I want to know what you want me to do. I'm not here just to hang around and create my own plans. Paul had plenty of his own plans, and God intervened and saved him. He said, now what do you want me to do? Yes. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord. Who is He, this Lord? Who art thou, Lord? Well, I'll tell you what, He's the God-man. He's the creator of the... Did you say creator? Yes, I did. You not believe in evolution? Which theory of evolution are you asking me about? Did you know there are at least 14 theories of evolution, all of which disagree with each other? So which one do you want me to believe? Too confusing for me. I believe there's a God who created us. Amen. And that same God came to this earth to redeem us and to purchase us. Yeah. And that's why Jesus is the God-man. We have in Christ what the theologians call the hypostatic union. That Christ is fully God and fully man. He's not just a little bit of God and a little bit of man blended together. No, He's fully God. He's fully man. And He's the one in charge. Did you know He always demonstrated that He was sovereign? That He was in charge? Think of His death. Think of the manner in which He died. You know He prophesied how He would die in John chapter 3. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must I, the Son of Man, I must be lifted up. He was talking about the cross. Do you remember that, was it Luke 4? Jesus returned to His hometown, went to the script, went and started reading the Bible. The scriptures were handed to him, and he read out of the prophet Isaiah, and he's reading away about the Messiah. And then he came to the where it said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then if he had kept on reading, he'd have read the day of vengeance, the day of judgment. But he closed the book. Have you ever thought about that? This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Close the book. If he had kept reading, there was a day of judgment. Isn't that lovely? A year of grace, a day of judgment. And let me tell you, if you're not saved tonight, are you listening? He closed the book. And there's only a comma between you and destruction. When he wants to close the book, finally open on the day of judgment, there is judgment coming because God is a just God. He must punish sins. But you're not worried about that, brother? No, and I'll tell you why. Because my sins have been punished on him. By him, he has taken my sin. The Father punished him in my place, and he is my substitute. And if you tonight trust him as your substitute, you'll know what it is to be saved. He's wonderful, but I must move on. And so the people were not happy that he closed the book. And they took him to the edge of a hill to throw him over headlong into the valley. But that's not the way Jesus chose to die. And so he turned around and walked through their midst. Do you see his sovereignty? He chose the manner of his death. And he chose the motive of his death. Mark 10 and 45, he says, I have come to minister and to give my life a ransom. That's what he chose, to give his life a ransom. Not an accident. It wasn't an accident. It was pre-planned. The cross was pre-planned from the foundation of the world. And our salvation was pre-planned from the foundation of the world. Before there ever was a sinner on the earth, there was a Savior in heaven. Isn't that good news? Amen. So he chose the manner. He chose the motive. I've come to give my life a ransom, to pay a ransom. That's a purchase. Redemption is a commercial word. Back then it was commercial. You could buy and purchase. Purchase yourself a slave out of the slave market, and that meant they were redeemed. Oh yes, commercial terms. And he chose the moment of his death. The moment of his death. He bowed his head and he dismissed his spirit. Wow. You say, what's so great about that? I need a volunteer. I want somebody. And I hope I haven't used this illustration before here, but I want somebody to come up here and show me how sovereign you are and die for us. Come on, come up here, lie down, die for us. Just dismiss your spirit and die. Any takers? Do you know what? You cannot do it. Oh yeah, you can kill yourself, you can shoot yourself, whatever you want to do, but I'm talking about dying just now, willing yourself to die. You can't do it and I can't do it. But Jesus, when he knew redemption had been accomplished, he bows his head and he dismisses his spirit. That's sovereignty. That's the one who saved you. That's the Master. Isn't he worth worshiping? Isn't he lovely? He's lovely. You know, we have a great time with our people on the mission field telling them about Jesus. They get Christian TV in some of these places, and do you know what they get there? Blab it, grab it, name it, claim it. God wants you to be prosperous. I sent me $100. These folks don't have the nails to scratch with. And they're being fleeced and they're being taught a false gospel. And it's so wonderful to be able to take these pastors and train them in the gospel. Train them about Christ crucified. Train them about the sovereign God who chose the manner of his death, who chose the motive of his death and the moment of his death. And God forbid, come on, gentlemen, God forbid we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus. That's one of his names, isn't it? Lord Jesus. Do you love that name? What a lovely name. It's a name that will melt your heart. The name of Jesus. It annoys me when I hear people taking his name in vain, cursing with his name. Don't be afraid to say something to them too. It might seem strange, but don't let them off with it. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in the believer's ear. It soothes his sorrow, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. So why did they call him Jesus? Why not call him Archie? Fred, there's a good name. No, says the angel, call his name Jesus. For, here's the reason. Are you ready for the reason? Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Isn't that great? He shall save his people. Who will? He will save, deliver, liberate his people from their sins. And he's named from heaven by the Father who knows him best, sent with that name. To the angel Gabriel comes with that name. What a suitable name, for it describes his work. His work is to save. If you're saved tonight, it's because of Jesus. If you want to be saved tonight, go to Jesus. Say, Lord, I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. And you know, the good news is Jesus saves sinners. I love that. Because I tell you, this here is a sinner. I need a continual salvation. You say, oh, brother, aren't you sanctified? Yeah, I'm sanctified in Christ. I certainly am. But, brother, you're a preacher. You're teaching across the world. Yeah, you want to see the things I think in this world, in here, but this world between my ears. Well, I need a Savior. I'm not jumping down your throat and saying, oh, you're bad. You're what? Hey, I'm a wretch. Amazing grace. It saved a wretch like me. Oh, listen, the first link between us and Christ is not our goodness, but our badness. It's not our merit, but our misery. It's not our standing, but our falling. It's not our riches, but our need. And he came to remove our sins, pay for them. And he is presently saving us from the presence and the pleasure of them. He's already saved us from the penalty. It's a great joy to be able to teach this kind of message. We can't do it without help. We're working, as I said, in India. We've got actually, we're closely connected with 30 pastors in different countries. And we're teaching them grace. Teaching them grace, and they are teaching others. Always hearing from them, teaching others. We go to see them when we can. Africa, we're going to be there in early December. Again, how do we get in touch with Africa? Well, the same way we've got in touch with the group in Malawi. Do you know how many we've got in the group in Malawi who are learning grace? 6,000. Their head pastor, he came in through the Wednesday Word, and now he's learning on a daily basis, almost daily basis. Some days I'm not able to get to them. And they go and they teach their people. But this one in Kenya, the same thing, the same idea. And they get to say, I've never heard, basically, this. I've never heard anything like this. And well, that to me means that they're sheep. I'm not trying to teach a bunch of goats. They're sheep. I'm not saying they're all sheep. Who am I to say? But the leaders have a hunger for the gospel. And so right now, this book here on grace is being translated into Swahili. Swahili. And it will be, and it's also being translated, he asked me yesterday, he told me, he says, I have 10 pages done. This is the guy from Rwanda. I'm not sure what language that's going into. Folks, I want to tell you, your money goes to good use. You sent me an offering every so often. Well, it goes into projects like this. Now, it goes part of it to keep us alive, because if I die of hunger, I'm not going to be able to minister very well. And so, but we're raising up these pastors in Kenya. I couldn't tell you the step by step, but he, through the teaching, said, would you come to Kenya and teach us? And that's the way it's been happening. That's the way it's growing. I've got invitations to come now to the Philippines. A different island than Brother Barry's on, but a local pastor there wants us to come, and we've said, well, we'll see. Lots of invitations to go to various other places in India, new places. But there's only the two of us, you know. Sometimes we bring along other folks. But we would appreciate your prayers. We would covet your prayers so much. Am I missing any of the details? I'm doing okay. So those are the main things. Yeah, was in Bulgaria earlier this year, preaching amongst the gypsies, the Romani gypsies. They're despised in that country. They're hated. And God's moving amongst them, and they're starting churches. Now, they don't have teaching, but we're doing what little we can to help them. Help them along to understand grace. Gypsies, wonderful, wonderful people. Got to preach at their churches there a few months ago. I think it was a few months ago. But anyway, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Would you like to grow in grace? Get in the gospel. Don't buy one of these sets of cassettes that say 7 steps to sanctification. Well, you know what you've done? You've just paid money to a guy who's enjoying it. Do you know what's going to get us to grow in grace? It's the gospel. The more we fall in love with Jesus and see that it was Him who hung, the God-man who hung there. Was it for sins that I had done He groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, love divine, and grace beyond degree. So God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord, the Savior, the Sovereign, Jesus. He's the Savior. His name is the beginning of hope and the end of despair. And in Him we are accepted. Why does the Father accept you? Yes, He accepts me because I've been praying a lot. No. Oh, He accepts me because I've been witnessing a lot. No. Well, He accepts me because I've been helping the missionaries with money. No. Our acceptance is in Christ Jesus. Our welcome is in Christ Jesus. Isn't He lovely? And He's the Sovereign, He's the Savior, and He's the Christ. And we'll finish with this. This means He's the Sufficient One. He's appointed and anointed by the Father to save His people from their sins. And let me tell you, when He saves you, He'll never let you go. I'm telling you, He'll never let you go. Oh, brother, I think I can be saved and lost. How dare you call the shepherd of the sheep inefficient? Isn't He the chief shepherd? Isn't He the good shepherd? Well, you obviously think He's the bad shepherd if you think you can be lost. Then He must be a bad shepherd. But He says, oh, I'm the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And He's the shepherd who's never lost a sheep. I'm telling you, I could get myself lost very quickly. I'm like the Irishman who said, "Lead me not into temptation, for I'll get there myself." Yeah. Ah, but Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, isn't that beautiful?
We'll give thanks to the Lord before our regular prayer meeting. Thank you, Father, for the time we've had for Brother Miles and Jillian with us this day. And we give you praise and thanks for bringing them to us once again, renewing fellowship with them, and that your blessings would be upon them. And this message to our heart to remind us of the glory of the cross, that which the world thinks of as terrible, and that we joy and rejoice in our salvation. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.